Hey, football fans, it's Patrick Peterson, former three-time All-Pro NFL cornerback, and now the new host of First and Pod, the podcast that breaks down every game, every week, with new episodes dropping every Monday and Friday mornings. Plus, I'll be highlighting key matchups for DBs around the league on Patrick's Corner. Be sure to subscribe to First and Pod on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
The time to explore the mind of a stripper,
then you can find the time to spend with your actual family.
Prime Time with Isaac and Sue.
Damn, what they on? All steroids and no carbs. This is a thick ass kid.
This is Prime Time.
We're not like you. We're grown ups.
Your source for the best in local, regional, and national sports. Here are Isaac Ropp and Jason Sakanik with Primetime on 1080 The Fan.
All right, nice to have you along. It's Monday with Ropp and Suk. I was watching the Chiefs warm up here.
Mm-hmm.
Monday
Chiefs
Night Football.
Bucks tonight.
Yeah, and they have. I don't know why I think this is so funny, because it's not. But you know when the quarterback warms up, somebody has to catch the ball for them?
Sure.
For Mahomes, they have a one-armed man catching the ball. Which is funny to me because it's like of all the people on your staff
members
that could catch the ball for Mahomes, maybe not the give that job guy to the one-armed guy, but he seemed to be doing a pretty good job of
now
it.
Now I'm going to have to do a deep dive on this because there's got to be a story behind it. You know,
well, I don't know how he lost his arm.
If there's not, there will be by Tom Rinaldi tomorrow.
Oh, man. Chiefs. I feel like if I'm Googling one-armed man, like the fugitive's going to come up. Porter Elliott is named. He's an assistant running backs coach of the Chiefs.
But how many people are on their staff that could catch the ball for Patrick Mahomes?
A lot.
Would you want someone with two arms? Would it be easier for somebody who had two arms and two hands? Or is it easier for the guy who has... Or does the guy who has one arm and one hand insist?
Yeah, it's just...
He must.
It's odd. Or is it one of those things where... Like he wants to do it because it you know he's overcoming.
Yeah, he may want it.
He may want it, and he's like, I'm gonna prove to everyone.
No. Hey, we're calling you off the ball. What was his name?
Porter Elliott.
Hey Porter, we're calling you off the ball here. We're gonna give you something a little easier.
Well, it'd be like if you
he's like, no, I got this.
Well, I mean, maybe he wanted to hold for extra points, and they're like, that's ridiculous. But
how would a one-armed man hold for extra points?
How would a one-armed man catch for a quarterback?
Like, aren't there 80 jobs in the building he's better suited to do?
That's what I'm saying.
Exactly. It's just like, it's not that he can't do that, but like, you might excel more at something else.
It's just like, why?
He lost his arm at age 4.
All right.
So, and then he... lost his arm in an accident at age 4 and had it surgically removed at 16. So it hasn't worked since 4. And then after a while, he was like, what are we doing here?
Well, he definitely has no arm.
No, it's not partial. I mean, that sucker's...
No, it's his whole arm.
That sucker's gone.
But he's out there catching the ball for Mahomes.
Although, you got to wonder, like, Mahomes has to take some of it off. Like, because there's no way he can throw hard.
Who?
To Mahomes.
Well, no, he's not. He's standing. Remember, he's standing next to Mahomes. Mahomes throws to somebody else.
He's the one getting the throw back.
He gets the throw back, and then he tosses it up to Mahomes.
That makes sense, because those quarterbacks, when they're warming up, freaking Chris Sims used to do that to me because he was an ass. They would throw so hard, like, it hurts your hands. I'm like, dude, I'm not catching that. So I was like, there's no way. But that makes sense if he's just catching it.
Oh, no, they were hurting you so bad.
So maybe he's feeling it more like kind of a punt. You have to kind of...
He does,
throw,
I was watching it.
You throw, like, a lob to him.
Yeah, they're kind of taking it easy on him over there. They're not. It's not like they're slinging it right at him. But
does
I'm just
seem
saying,
a bit odd.
It's just like,
what
why
if he got, like, a big net? What if he had, like, like a peach basket, like old Naismith style, and he caught it.
Yeah.
It does seem like that has to be more of a ceremonial sort of feel-good sort of thing.
He must want to do it
because
it doesn't make sense.
Well, again, he's out there trying to,
I was looking at something else, too, during the break.
Something.
I was looking at Boise State. You know, and we've talked about this with regards to Oregon State and Washington State. One of the positive things about being Boise State, dude, they're going to be on track to make this tournament every year. As long as they keep up what they've got going in their program.
Yeah.
Because they're always the highest ranked, like, preseason. Like, they start with an advantage because they are the group of five of record that we know is good every year and we just trust is good every year.
True.
So they always start higher than everyone else. And all they have to do is play relatively well against the one good non-conference opponent that they have, and then beat everybody else on their schedule who sucks. I mean, it's not, honestly, it's one of the easier paths to the playoff, and it's not that they're going to make it every year, but they certainly have a chance to. Well, like, they're in a pretty good spot.
But, like, last year, Liberty would have gone, not them.
Well, like I said, they're not going to make it every year, but it's just an easier path.
Yes. Then let's say if Boise got the call up to the ACC.
Well, like Big 12, like BYU.
Yeah, BYU.
I mean, that's...
The BYU path is a lot harder than Boise State's.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And Boise State's just sitting there like, oh, we'll just keep rolling teams, played Oregon tough, and we'll see you in the tournament.
So I'm looking, I was interested because Boise had fallen off. They lost five games last year. 2022. Yeah, they lost four. So it's one of those things. Boise needs to prove that they can be here year in and year out. But yes, to your point, if you're a Boise State, you do have a nice path, but you would assume you still probably got to be a one loss team.
Yeah, that's the thing. You can't.
You
have to either win your big non-conference game, like the Oregon game. You can really only slip up one time.
Yeah.
So you have, that's the downside. You're going to have to run the table in your league if you lose to Oregon. Like next year, they play Notre Dame.
Yeah.
So if they lose to Notre Dame, they're probably going to have to run the table. But there's a couple years, like 2027, their non-conferences, App State, USF, and Marshall.
Yeah. I'm looking to see what their record's been lately. So, you kind of forget about Boise. But since... Yeah, because they had that run there where it was like 10-3, 11-3, 10-3, 12-2, and then 5-2, 7-5, 10-4, 8-6, and then this year 7-1. So even those years, like if you're Boise, it might behoove you not to schedule big boys, because when you look at like a 10-3 record or an 11-3 with the bowl game, so 10-3 or 10-2. You know, if you're trying to game the system, it doesn't do you any favors to play Notre Dame. It doesn't do you any favors to play Oregon.
Unless
you win. But what are the odds of that?
Yeah, they're probably catching checks for those games. Yeah,
probably,
you know.
And they may need those checks.
But they start, I was looking here, the last 20 years, they've started in the top 25, 10 of the 20.
Yeah. It is by far the most respected of those programs.
So it's like, and sure, Liberty can jump up and bite you, but I just feel like Boise State has a pretty,
Well, and that was kind
of the
thing.
Good path to the playoff every year.
That was the thing with like Oregon State, Washington State, right? Like once you get solidified in the Pac-12, like I know it's not where you want to be and the financial issues and all that, but there is a path for you.
That's what I mean.
There is.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's just easier.
Yeah.
And maybe even more fun than beating up on the Purdue's and Illinois of the world.
Or having them... having to play four or five games a year where, I mean, look at Oregon State this year. And I know there's some stuff that goes into that, but no one's having fun in that thing.
Yeah, but.
Yeah. Washington State, though, is having a nice year. If Washington State were in the Mountain West and not the little weird thing.
They're the highest ranked.
They would be there. Them and Boise would be duking it out.
Yep. All right. We'll get back to the college football Manny Petty. The Jason Kelce phone smash is what I was discussing. Teasing. That was the.
Oh, yeah. I did see that.
That happened outside of the Penn State Ohio State game.
I can't say I knew that happened at the Penn State game.
Yeah. It was a Penn State bro that was.
Because he went to that game. Was he? Yeah. Was he a guest picker? What? No, he wasn't. Was he?
No, but he was on the panel. I saw him.
Yeah. I saw him on the coverage.
And by the way, I look up and there he is again on my TV tonight. The guy's everywhere. But I like that he smashed that kid's phone. Anyway, we'll get to that later. The Stock Watch is up next. What we're buying and selling from the weekend in sports on The Fan.
It's primetime Stock Watch. What's all the hype? Are Isaac and Soup buying it or calling BS and unloading it fast?
Sounds to me like you guys are a couple of bookies.
Is the hype accurate or a bunch of hot gas? Before you buy or sell, listen close.
It's easy to grin when your ship comes in and you've got the stock market beat. But the man worthwhile is the man who can smile when his shorts are too tight in the seat.
Primetime Stock Watch is brought to you by 1-800-DIVORCE. When you need to take stock of your rights, 1-800-DIVORCE is on your side. Call 1-800-DIVORCE today.
All right, still to come, Oregon quiets the Big House, complete with AI Dan Lanning, and we'll get to the rest of the weekend that was in college football, even though we've done a lot of that already. There's more! You believe that?
There's always more.
There's always more. And the NFL. Our Seahawks suddenly suck. Not good.
I got some thoughts on that.
That's how you give away a game, right?
Well, there's someone that's taking, and I get it, a lot of blame, and he is not the problem there.
Oh, Gino?
Yeah.
That might be coming up at the end of this Stock Watch.
All right. Nice! Nice!
On the same page.
Here is Buckley with Stock Watch.
We will start in State College, Pennsylvania. Isaac alluded to this earlier, but this incident before the Penn State game, Jason Kelce carrying a 12-rack of beers and getting harassed by a fan. This is how it went down.
Kelce, can I get a fist bump?
What you heard there at the end was the pop of a phone smashing on the ground when someone used a slur asking Jason Kelce what they thought about his brother, or if his brother is a slur now that he's dating Taylor Swift.
Yeah.
So
you got there. You did it.
Yeah, we did it.
Good description.
This led to Jason Kelce's apology tonight on Monday Night Countdown. Here's what that sounded like.
Listen, I'm not happy with anything that took place. I'm not proud of it, and you know, in a heated moment, I chose to greet hate with hate, and I just don't think that that's a productive thing. I really don't. I don't think that. You know, it leads to discourse, and it's the right way to go about things. And in that moment, I fell down to a level that I shouldn't have. So I think the bottom line is, you know, I want to live my life. I try to live my life by the golden rule. That's what I've always been taught. I try to treat people with common decency and respect, and I'm going to keep doing that moving forward, even though this past. Even though I fell short this week, I'm going to do that moving forward and continue to do that.
Buy or sell that Jason Kelce should have apologized at all?
No. I mean, I think he had to, probably. Obviously, he's a public figure, ESPN. He had to apologize because he used the slur. But he only used the slur in response
He did?
Well,
what did he say?
He said
who's the blank now?
Yeah. Oh,
after he smashed the phone.
After he smashed the phone. So
it was less him calling that guy that, but like, you called me that, and maybe you're that. Or, you know, it was...
So, look, you can't do it, but at the same time, I wish he would have... I mean, I know you can't. That guy just deserved to get socked in the face. We've gotten way too comfortable with these idiots now, shoving people's phones in people's faces and saying these awful, hurtful things because there's no consequences. So, like, I could care less what happens to this, you know what, that was taunting him. I mean, he'll pay him for a new phone. Maybe he has to write him a check for $5,000. The guy gets his 2 seconds of fame. So, yeah, if you're Kelce, you're a public figure. You got to be better than that. But I don't know if he owes anyone an apology. But I'm sure ESPN made him do that. So, and I'm sure, like, you could tell in his voice, he's not thrilled that it went there.
No, he's not. And that's what I liked about the apology. I don't think he needed to apologize because apologies, it's like, that doesn't change anything. It's like... Yeah. He did it, and I don't like how he reacted. Yeah. At the same time, that is the very definition of F around and find out.
Yeah.
You can't be doing that to people, and be prepared for your phone to get smashed, and you're lucky your nose didn't get broken.
Yeah.
But that said, what he said I thought was great in his apology, and you could tell that was heartfelt. Yeah. He felt bad about being triggered by that guy. Yeah. I've always been one to say... When you're a public figure like Jason Kelce and you're throwing yourself out there on every damn commercial known to man and every damn pregame show known to man, some of the responsibility that comes with that is being able to handle that very situation right there better than you did. So he's not at fault, but at the same time, I like what he did to the kid's phone. F that kid. You can't be going around doing that. He shouldn't do that again, and I think it was a heartfelt apology that he made, and let's all move on.
Yeah. I mean, I know...
Now, if Kelce has a history of acting like this when people try to bait him, because you know more people are going to try to bait him now. Yeah. That's the hard part about this, is they will. If he keeps doing this, then it's all, you know, then it's a different conversation. But I think he's a decent guy,
yeah.
Jason Kelce, tired of seeing him.
But by all accounts, he is a good dude.
And I think that was a sincere apology. I think he really meant that. He didn't want to react that way. He hates that he reacted that way, but he did, and he apologized for it. Let's move on.
Well, and I relate to that. I have had a temper over the years, and I've worked hard to try to control it. And every now and then, when it comes back out, it really is embarrassing. When you see glimpses of it, and I think that was really genuine, and you could hear it in his voice. I don't think that was BS.
Well, moving on to the actual game at hand in State College,
who won?
Well, that would be the Ohio State Buckeyes after
10-0.
After felt like it after Penn State flailed in the red zone multiple times. This is James Franklin after the game.
I understand their frustration. Guys in the locker room are just as frustrated, if not more, but college football has changed, and we have an opportunity moving forward to right some wrongs from today, and that's what we're going to focus on. I get it. We get an unbelievable crowd here. We get unbelievable support. You don't do that without passion, and there's great things that come from that, and there's hard things that come from that. That's part of the job. That's part of the job, and I own it all. I own it all.
Buy or sell, James Franklin's going to get another crack at Ohio State.
No.
You think he's going to get fired?
Oh, I thought you were talking about this year. Like,
oh, no, not this season.
So you're saying...
Like will yeah, he...
They're
will,
not going to fire him.
Will he lose again and then ultimately be fired?
Yeah, no. I he'll get another crack next year, but I do not think they will play Ohio State in the Big Ten title game. I thought that's what you were...
No, I just meant would he get the chance to play him again next season?
I think... I'd have to look at his... Yeah, look at his bat. He's been really successful there at Penn State, but ultimately he can't win the games, and I could see Penn State moving on from him.
He's like 1-13 in those rivalry games.
It's not pretty. I just don't know. I mean, Penn State just hasn't – they've had one coach for so long and then Bill O'Brien, but Bill O'Brien left, and then Franklin came in and really stabilized that. So I'm going to say no, but I totally understand where Penn State is coming from if they move on. And to be honest with you, if I was Penn State, I think I probably would, because I think Franklin is a very good coach. I don't think Franklin is a great coach, and he's proven that. And if you're Penn State, what are your expectations? You know, are you Wisconsin or are you Ohio State? Because you fancy yourself Ohio State, and the truth of the matter is, for the last 20 years, you have not been.
And they've got a decent shot at running the table now, and they'll yes. probably be left out of the Big Ten championship game, so they should get a spot in the playoffs.
Get a spot in the playoffs. So.
So what's the buy or sell?
Buy or sell whether he'll be their coach next year.
Yeah, he'll be there. Yeah, I don't think they're going to fire him. I think if you move on from him, you really better have a good upgrade. You know?
What about down in Indiana? You're like, hey.
Would you?
The
would
Sig
you,
10!
Would you take Signetti over James Franklin?
After one
year? I don't know.
I
don't know. I think if you could get Dan Lanning on the hook...
Sure.
You make that move.
Yeah.
If you could get... Trying to think who else is out there.
I'm looking here to see where what his buyout is.
Would you take Lane Kiffin if he would jump?
Ooh.
I think I would.
I think I would,
because I think I know that there is a ceiling with Franklin, and I've got to try to break through the ceiling, and he's just not going to be the guy. Although, it's $56 million.
No.
But.
What about Nick Saban?
Yeah, I would.
Remember him?
I would go ahead and do that.
Give him a call?
Yeah.
Moving on to the Oregon Ducks, who were in Ann Arbor over the weekend. Dan Lanning was asked about the lack of production from the Ducks in the third quarter. They have scored all of 6 points the third quarter in 6 Big Ten games this year. He was asked about it not once but twice in the postgame.
Yeah, there's a trend, right? And it's something that we're certainly aware of and attacking. You know, again, they came out and got a 3-and-out there, I think, on the very first drive out of the third quarter. So it's something we want to look at and improve on.
Dan, just to circle back to the third quarter issue, the trend. Is it at a point where you would say that's a problem? Is it on the verge of becoming a problem? How do you characterize that?
No, we won 38-17, so I'd say it's not a problem. Right? It's something we want to address, though.
Buy or sell, nice. Oregon does have a third quarter problem.
Nice answer.
Yes. Yes, they do.
What's their problem?
I don't know.
What's going on with that?
Because they've been, I mean, they're a big middle eight team. I mean, that's one of the things he always preaches, the last 4 minutes of the half, first 4 minutes of the second half. And, you know, you got blanked against Ohio State, and that didn't come back and cost you. I mean, it could have. you know, the other ones, it's like UCLA, Michigan State, Illinois, like Michigan.
Purdue.
Like, you've been up big in all those games. So I wonder, is it...
Yeah.
Are you uninterested? Do you have your foot off the gas? And then you go to the Ohio State game, and that's the only quarter you didn't score. Look, is there an issue? Yes. Is it this glaring, oh my God, sort of thing? I don't think so.
It's the kind of thing we find on a number one ranked team with not a lot else to poke holes at.
Yes. But if you are going into the college football playoff, you've got 3 weeks here to figure out why your team isn't solid in the third quarter, and you could tell he's a little chippy about it. And the only reason he's chippy about it, because I think behind closed doors where he's not going to talk to people, he knows that ultimately that is an issue, because if you're playing better teams, that's the sort of thing that can get you beat.
Well, I love that he knows it and he's addressed it and he's like, we're going to work on it. That's all you can ask, right?
That's all
that guy ever does. And then everything always improves.
Yes.
Have you noticed that?
They get better.
When that dude sets in on something.
Yeah. What do you want to bet they put up three tutties against Maryland in the third quarter this week?
I feel like, and I don't know about the Maryland thing, but I feel like this is simply, and this is probably an oversimplification, but I just think when you are that good and you're beating most of the opponents that we're talking about in the third quarter, they were up and clearly were physically better than every one of those teams, were they
Absolutely.
Not?
Absolutely. The games were never in question.
Yeah, so I think that's part of it, is you get into the locker room and you're like, oh, we got this. These guys can't hang with us.
Yeah.
And then on the flip side, those teams, the one last punch they're going to throw is right out of the gate in the second half. Like, they regroup, they come at you. And so I think that could maybe explain some of it.
Yeah.
And I really don't know that that's a major problem if you see Oregon doing this against, you know, whoever they – Indiana in the Big Ten title game or
then
in the college football playoff, then of course. But I bet it goes away when they start playing better teams.
Yeah.
Playoffs.
And then finally, going over to the NFL, the Seahawks dropping their fifth of their last six games with this ugly play.
So second down and goal from the 4. Seahawks have got to punch this in somehow, some way. Shotgun snap. Geno dumps it. Oh, my God. It's intercepted again. Intercepted at the 5-yard line.
Oh, my God. It's intercepted again. Oh, my God. Yeah.
Another rough loss for the Seahawks. God. Buy or sell, they are more rebuilders than they are playoff contenders.
No, because there's really only – I mean, I can't say there's only one. There is a massive issue with the Seattle Seahawks, and it's the worst in the league. And I mean that. It is the worst in the league, and it is their offensive line. Do you realize that I think they're either 31 or 32 on third down conversions. They're converting at like 24%. Do you know what their average third down to gain is? And let me just point out that anything third and six and longer is considered obvious passing. Third and long, third and six is problematic. Their average, just take a guess.
Like third and 6.8 or something?
Oh, take another one.
Nine.
Third and 8?
Third and 9.8.
Oh, my God.
That is their average.
This deep in the season, that's horrendous.
Down. Geno Smith is pressured on basically 50% of his dropbacks. He was pressured 60% in this last one. Outside of Charles Cross, who's really good, it is the worst offensive line in football. It is dreadful. And when Geno Smith, I'm pulling this off the top of my head, but Geno Smith against pressure in that game was, I think, 9 of 19 with the picks with a clean pocket. A clean pocket, he was 9 of 12 for 220 yards. When Geno Smith has time, Geno Smith is a good quarterback. The only reason they were in that game is Jackson Smith and Jigba, and Geno were, like, he slings it. He had 6 completions of 20-plus yards in that game, and 2 others were dropped. So it's there. It's just that when you play behind the worst offensive line and you're not a mobile guy, and Geno is not a Mahomes guy that he's, you know, he's not Josh Allen, he's not Lamar, he's a pocket guy. He needs to be in a system kind of like what Sam Darnold's doing. I think he's a much better version of Sam Darnold. But so are they rebuilding? They need to rebuild that offensive line because it stinks.
That right there is it. You asked if they're rebuilders or more contenders? I think they're more rebuilders because of the offensive line.
They will go nowhere with
this
O-line.
I mean, it's just not good enough, and they know it.
Oh, it's and so bad.
So that's really, I mean, it doesn't have to be your whole roster. I mean, they have some pieces. Yeah. But I don't, you know, I mean, you know me. I don't think as much of Smith as you do. I think even when you're running for your life like that, and of course he is, so is C.J. Stroud. You know, the only guy that's been pressured more than Geno is C.J. Stroud, and they have a better record. Yeah. He's handling it better, even though he's tough to watch, too. I mean, there's only so much you can do as a quarterback when that's your offensive line. You still, I don't care how much duress you're under, you cannot have those throws. Yeah. He had three of them.
Yeah.
You can't do it.
No.
You just, now he's Will Levis. Yeah. Okay, so it's one thing that Geno Smith can do it if everything else is in place. That I buy.
Yeah.
But when Geno Smith starts playing like this, when everything is not in place, you have compounded your problem. You have to have a quarterback, especially with a bad offensive line, that will not succumb to just really, really, really poor decisions.
The last couple weeks, and it's the same thing with C.J. Stroud.
You can't do it.
They're breaking him.
You just can't do it. And I worry about that. That at the same time, I mean, obviously Geno Smith is not the problem, but he cannot play like that.
No.
I don't care how much.
And he did apologize. I feel for him right now because that is a man right now that is just he's under siege. And Seattle is not a good team right now. I thought the Seahawks would be much better than this, but
you know, they should have. Should have tapped out.
Yeah. Did you see a receiver who did that in the NFL over the weekend?
Who?
DJ Moore.
He did?
The middle of a play, he just, Caleb Williams was like scrambling around and the routes were broken and he just walked off the field in the middle of the play.
DJ Moore, did you see his shoulder
bump? Little shoulder. I wasn't sure if that was as intentional as anyone ever made it, but.
Who did he bump?
Caleb Williams.
Oh, no.
DJ Moore is not happy with Caleb Williams because, again, there's another guy that, because of some circumstances around and he's a rookie, his play the last couple weeks is.
Well, he's running for his life, too.
Same thing.
And he's a rookie.
It's bad.
It's just
it's bad. But when DJ Moore isn't getting fed, there's tension.
All right, Stockwatch each week brought to you by Goldberg Jones. When it comes to divorce, custody, or child support issues, trust Goldberg Jones to help. Call 1-800-DIVORCE. Phone questions answered at no charge. In the news is next. The police have nabbed the shooter. Here's Buckley. All right, welcome back to our show. It's our show. It is November 4th. 2024. It is time now for In the News. I am your Notre Newsman and a man of increase.
You are a man of increase.
As you know.
Being a man of increase?
Increase? He was not a man of increase.
He was not. No.
Maybe even a man of decrease.
Boy, I can't believe they beat what I think is probably the best team in football. And then they went out and did that.
Weird.
Yeah.
The In the News Seggy is brought to you by the Advocates Injury Attorneys at advocateslaw.com. Today is National Chicken Lady Day. Do you know a chicken lady?
I don't know what that means. Like someone that serves chicken?
Yeah.
I don't. So if I go to like Dave's Nashville Chicken and there's a lady serving me chicken, is she a chicken lady or are we talking about like old spindly gals? I don't know. With like chicken legs?
Yeah, I don't know what this is either.
Yeah, I don't know what a chicken lady is.
I think it's a woman who raises chickens.
So a farmer. Female farmer? Chicken farmer?
Well,
I don't know that you're necessarily a farmer just if you have chickens.
Probably not. I'm just
because you can have chickens in your backyard in Portland.
Yeah. I'm
just, you know, that's not a farm.
I'm confused. I don't get it.
Life's hard.
It is.
It is also Broadcast Traffic Professionals Day.
Hey, to all the people in traffic.
Yeah.
And by the way, that's not Victor Saragosa. That's people that are putting together the commercials and the spots.
That's right.
Yeah,
so.
And they're wonderful.
People don't know this, but a little inside baseball in the radio world, we have something called the traffic department, and it has nothing to do with motor vehicles.
No.
It's just the people that traffic the inventory of spots.
Yes.
That's and what they do. They put it all together.
The traffic of advertisements.
They're that's doing right. yeoman's work out
that's
there.
Right. They're great. We have a great traffic department, although I never see them ever. They're never here.
Unless Isaac's brakes are light and he's coming back from the bathroom, and then that's a problem.
Yeah.
Unless what?
The brakes are light and you're coming back from the bathroom, then that's
they
a problem.
Yell. Yeah, then I get a nasty email from them. But I think they're working from home. Well, police have nabbed the Vancouver Mall shooter.
Yeah. He's in a Joker mask.
Yeah, his name's Travis Ward. He's a 32-year-old man, and he was at a residence in Gresham, and they arrested him for the shooting that killed one and wounded two others.
Yeah. They stalked him. They put on the mask and stalked him around the mall.
Ooh, that's wild.
Shot him point blank.
Yep. And he shot him multiple times as he lay on the ground.
Yeah.
Don't know what the beef was.
They said gang-related, right? I thought there was something out there that said gang-related. Maybe that was something we got from the Vancouver 4 text line.
That I don't know. But clearly it was...
Well, as you know, everything on the Vancouver 4 text line is
gospel.
Yeah, is believable. But, so he was in court today.
Yeah.
One of the guys who got shot in the little footsie, he tells a harrowing tale. I was reading... forget who had an interview with him, but he was just a regular dude. He was just sitting there with his daughter.
Yeah.
Because it was Halloween, and they stopped to get something to eat, and they had a burrito, and he said, took one bite of the burrito, and he's like, oh my God, that can't be gunshots.
Yeah.
But it was, and it was right behind him, and he's like, oh my God. And then he grabs his daughter, and he ducks behind trash cans or a dumpster or something. Mm-hmm. He dives behind there with his little daughter, and his daughter looks at him and goes, Dad, you're bleeding. And he's like, what?
Ah.
And it was this little footsie.
Yeah.
And he's fine, but it's harrowing.
And then the other bros got it in his torso, and he says that they're probably just going to leave it in there.
Yeah.
They're like, oh.
Like a man.
He's going Teddy Roosevelt. He's like, I'll be fine. So that's it's absolutely terrifying. Oh, yeah. People were crying and running around. So
yeah, it's brutal.
Yeah. So he was in court today, and he was wearing the bulletproof vest and all that. So, yeah, he's going to jail forever. Charged with murder and two counts of attempted murder.
You know what's weird?
James A. Perez, by the way, Jahar, by his family members, he was the person who was actually killed.
Yeah, I didn't see his name anywhere. James Perez.
James A. Perez.
Rest in peace.
Yes.
You know what's weird is, like, when you're at a function like that and you hear gunshots, you think the worst. You think, like, active shooter who's roaming around just shooting everyone.
Yeah.
And so everybody runs and goes crazy. Like, and rightly so. It's like, you know,
well, you should
get out of here.
Yeah.
But then you realize it's just one shooter who killed one person, and that's terrible. But is there a little bit of relief that it's like, oh, it was just a...
Yeah, at least it was a targeted sort of shooting.
But then why does the shooter... Like, you just ruined your whole life.
Yes.
You killed this guy.
Yes.
So why don't... Like, so I am to gather that the shooter has morals... Because he only shoots this guy?
Well, he wasn't there to commit mass murder. He was just there to commit
personal
murder.
Beef.
Yeah.
No, I know. But does that mean he has morals?
Wow. I don't know if he has... Yeah, maybe some sort of code.
I was going to say, he may have a code.
There's code.
Well, he doesn't want to kill indiscriminately, which I guess is a...
That's a good thing.
That's a good thing.
But he's okay just killing them all.
He had a problem with
mask
these bro.
On. Did
you see the photo? He showed up with two gals... And a little girl in a princess costume.
Yeah.
They just walked into the mall, and then my man puts on the Joker in a mask, and then it's like, I'm going to go find this guy and kill him. Which, by the way, I'm just saying, like, if you're trying to hide your identity, you showed up without a mask. Are you not familiar with the concept of cameras, like, everywhere? It doesn't really do any good to put the mask on after you're in the mall. But
don't you think they would have got him anyway? Like,
probably.
Because, I mean, obviously they had a problem.
But if you're going to think far enough ahead to use the mask, use it before you walk inside.
Yeah. Well, and how about, why are you taking him out in a mall in front of everyone? Like,
probably just because you knew he was going to be there from somebody else. My guess is it was out of convenience, not out of...
Convenience, yes.
Well, I mean, like... No, I mean, if you know someone's going to be a place, then it's easy to find them.
I understand, but I think that maybe part of this... I don't know, because I've never murdered anyone.
Yeah.
But if I were to take somebody out that I dislike, I would maybe want to try to get away with it.
Yeah.
And one way that would certainly not help my cause is shooting them in plain sight right there in the...
I think the problem lies in that... We talked about this. I'm not saying my man's insane, but if you are willing to shoot someone in the middle of the mall, chances are the elevator is not at the top floor, and you're thinking rationally... And my guess is that Travis is sitting there. Is that his name, Travis? Right? My guess is he's sitting there right now being like, yeah, I probably should have thought a little harder about that one.
You think so? Yeah. Or do you think he's like, yeah?
No, I'm guessing he's like, yeah, hell. Because again...
Well, it's just sad all around.
It is. It's bad. And everyone's kind of clamming up about why he did it, which means there's probably something.
Yeah. That could be gang-related then, because they don't snitch.
He would not. No one, the girlfriend and him, no one's giving any explanation as
they're
to
like,
why.
They're like, leave us alone.
Yeah. So.
Hey.
Probably something to do with that.
Do you know what the coolest thing made in Oregon is?
I saw this list.
Oh, you did?
I did.
Huh. So you do know.
But I did not today before I saw this. And I don't know if I agree with the list.
Well, we'll get to that next on In the News here on The Fan. Yeah, somebody said with this shooter, a lot of those guys do it publicly for the gang to see, and that's how they get stripes and move up the chain. And remember, most gangs run the prisons.
So he's going to be living high on the hog?
Well,
be knee-deep in toilet wine? I'm not certain that that's...
Yeah, he did that all for a better life.
I don't know much about the gang life, but I do know that that's a whole culture that I don't understand.
Does anyone really want to go to, like, hey, you're going to join our gang and all you have to do is go to prison for the rest of your life? I don't know.
Perhaps that's some of it. I don't know. What is the coolest thing made in Oregon?
I disagree, by the way, with this.
Apparently, it is a single-engine plane...
The E-1000 GX.
Yes, it's built in Bend by Epic Aircraft. Mm-hmm. It is rivaling business jets. It has been named the coolest thing made in Oregon, and it was selected out of more than 250 nominations for the Coolest Thing Made in Oregon contest, which was held by the Oregon Business and Industry. Wait, which was held by Oregon Business and Industry and Here Is Oregon, which is some other group. I don't know. But I'm looking at the bracket here. Now, this plane is pretty cool.
Yeah, it costs like $4.5 million. It is just a single-engine plane, but...
Six seats.
It's like the best single-engine plane. I don't know. I guess it's, like, it's got good payload and...
Well, it says that it is the most fuel-efficient single-engine plane in its class. It features 1,200 horsepower turboprop engine that can reach 333 knots and 34,000 feet. It can fly halfway across the United States pretty quickly... Noting that it can travel from Bend to Portland in less than 30 minutes. Okay. And yes, $4.5 million is all it would take to get one of those.
Can't most airplanes do that? Or
30 minutes?
It would seem like it. That's not a... I mean, it's a...
It doesn't seem all that.
Drive.
No, I mean, it's just...
I thought you were going to say like 12 minutes, and I was going to be like, well, that's cool.
It's like the same thing. It's like to drive to Seattle, right? It takes about three and a half hours like to get to Bend. And
would you like the bracket?
I saw the bracket. And that's why I said, I mean, it's a cool airplane and all, but if there's an agility robot in this thing.
Yeah. Agility Robotics made a robot named Digit, and it only made the quarterfinals, didn't even make the semis.
Yeah.
It was defeated by Oregon Tool, the Diamond Chainsaw Chain.
Yeah, which again, also is pretty cool. They had one that generated, there was a it was something that made hydrogen. They had a... an electric airplane engine. Wouldn't that be cooler than just a regular airplane? Like an EV airplane engine?
We also had the multi-tool Leatherman was on the list. That made the semis.
Did you see the Portland Poo, the loo?
No. A
public toilet made the list.
Oh, the Portland loo,
The Portland loo. It's an innovative anti-graffiti public toilet.
Well, that was no match for the Yakima wool blanket from Pendleton.
And let me tell you what, that's a quality blanket.
Is it?
Yeah, I love Pendleton blankets.
So Leatherman beat Pendleton for the right to take on Tillamook Ice Cream.
Yeah.
And Leatherman actually made it all the way to the final against Epic Aircraft, and Epic Aircraft won.
Tillamook Ice Cream ahead of Tillamook Cheese?
No, Tillamook Cheese did not make the list.
Cheese isn't even on here.
You know it did make the list, and if I have to vote for what's the coolest thing, the Beaver Sweet Hot Mustard made the list.
Oh, those are
Beaver
good.
And let me tell you right now. That's specific because the Beaver brand, all their condiments, but that sweet hot mustard, let me tell you what, Beaver mustard, you sweet bastards, that's the best thing on that list. You think you're making you like your sandwich now? Put some sweet hot Beaver mustard on there, and now we're talking.
Side note, ever eaten Beaver?
All the time.
It was, it lost in the first round.
Yeah. I didn't like it.
So the semi-finalists were this aircraft, the... Diamond Chainsaw Chain from Oregon Tool, the Leatherman, and Tillamook Ice Cream. Yeah.
I've never heard of Timberline Vodka, but again, that was on there.
Yeah. Oh, Timberline's pretty good vodka.
I don't know that one.
Yeah. A bottle of that.
I don't drink a lot of vodka, except in my White Russians, and I'm not drinking that. Wesco Boots.
Yeah.
There was a wood pallet products from Timber Stoves.
I always wanted to do a a pallet company. I always wanted to have a pallet company.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Well, why is
well,
that?
Well, because I just think it would be easy and cheap. Well, not easy. Every business is, but you know what I mean? Like,
seems pretty straightforward. You have pallets.
Well, that's right. And you just deal them out. You get them to where they need to go, and you're good. And
it's
you
an
can,
interesting dream.
You can make
it's
them.
It's very mundane.
Well, you can make them for next to nothing, right?
Yeah, I don't know. Well, this looks like it's, this is wood pallet products, but it's like, this is like it, there's a lot of heaters and fireplaces and stuff. I don't know what.
I should have dealt in pallets. I wouldn't be here.
It's all about that pallet, that big pallet money.
That's right.
Yeah.
Corner the market on pallets, never go broke.
Someone's probably already got it, though.
I know, that's the problem. Yeah.
Got it.
The reason I had this idea is that one of the guys I used to bartend for was filthy rich, and all he did was owned a pallet company.
Pallet company.
That's the only reason I'm saying this.
I know.
I'm like, his name was Chris Mann.
Yeah.
He was the greatest tipper in the world. The guy had more money, he knew what to do with.
Pallets.
And that's what he did.
Yeah.
Pallets.
Yeah.
And he'd play golf.
I know
and I'm like, do you ever actually show up to your company? He's like, I don't need to do that.
Isn't it great? I know a guy that has his own airplane and he sells garbage. He takes garbage and he sells it to overseas people. And it's
that's
like,
it.
What? He sells our garbage to them and yet he's got his own plane. Yeah, it's nice you meet people and you're like, yeah, you make money in pallets and trash.
Yeah, I could use a gig like that someday. I could see that.
Very simple. Keep it simple, right? Or you could just be hawk to a girl.
That probably helps too.
Spit on that thing.
I don't know if she has airplane money, but
spit
it's
on that
there.
Thing.
Concrete jungle, wet dream tomato.
I just can't believe.
You can't?
I just.
The Advocates, injury attorneys at advocateslaw.com bring you in the news November 4, 2024. The Hot 5 at 5 is next. It is chock full of sports goodness when we return on The Fan.